so much. It's just Robert Paragon, Robert Friedman. It says Robert Friedman, Sam, I am Shaw Robinson. Actually, I'm from Scotland. Anybody here from England? Any English?
Yeah.
Excellent. We'll connect afterwards. I made Yuri Da to America from England last 10 years ago on the Rabbi Lincoln Square Synagogue. And it's a great honor. I have to tell you, I just have a little hesitation about speaking. First of all, here in the Gush in particular, but in Israel, you have the opportunity to study from such unbelievable Talmidei Chachamim, including those in our midst. When I was a yeshiva bocher, I never learned in the Gush. I learned in a frat for 7 years. One of the things I used to strongly object to was American rabbis who would come by in the winter all wearing their long raincoats and give everybody a big yashar koach for studying in Israel for the year, and now I find myself almost in that same position. But so I have more than a hesitation. So let me just share a couple of ideas with you. And one thing that I want to say, and very, very almost personally, everybody knows, and this morning I just had a very quick tour of Gush with Rabbi Riskinson, who's involved in some security measures here. And look, you find yourselves in the front line of Israel. You know, when Yaakov, in last week's Parsha, Yaakov wrestles with the Malach, the Ish, angel, and he asks him his name, and the angel says back, Lamazet Yishal Yishmi, why do you ask my name? And Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal says, there's no point asking the name of that Malach. The Malach represents anti-Semitism, the Kochot that try and attack Am Yisrael in every generation. And the Malach says to him, what do you need to mourn my name? This year my name is the Catholic Church. Next year my name will be the Communism. Next year the name will be the Nazis. The year after it will be anti-Zionism. Every year that power changes. One never knows in Klal Yisrael where the front line of Klal Yisrael will be. And you guys here being in the Gush, being in Alon Shvut this year, being in the most special yeshiva that exists in the world, find yourselves in a place where it's so critically important that Am Yisrael keep their heads up and keep strong and keep being ma'aminim and don't flinch and don't blink. This was not a planned trip for me coming from America. I was going to come later on in the year. And last year, and you're here, and maybe your parents are protecting you from this a little bit, but the murder just a few yards away of Ezra Schwartz is something that deeply, deeply affected the American Jewish community. And it's a tragedy on every level. I don't know whether people here knew him. I certainly did not. I don't know whether people were here from here were at the Azkara in Bet Shemesh on Thursday night. I went straight from the airport. But it actually led me to a piece of reflection, of self-reflection, because American Jewry, world Jewry, was really devastated by what happened to Ezra Schwartz. Not that Chas v'Chalila, we don't care about Israelis. You know how much we care about Israelis in America and in England. But still, the loss of an 18-year-old boy here for a year doing chesed yards away is something that really profoundly shocked American Jewry. And it led me to realize something that I don't want to sound over emotional because I am, after all, British. I'm never, not even an American citizen. So, but American Jewry realized in just a moment what incredible youth we have. This generation graduated seniors from high school last year, spending Israel this year. It could have been any one of us, of our children, could have been any one of us. An American Jewish community would react the same way. It sounds like Ezra was a very special young man, but you're all special young men. And I think American Jewry, and not just the modern Orthodox community, really understood how special our kids are. It's true, most of us don't go to the Israeli army. But the values which we're learning, raising our kids, and the chesed that you do, and the experiences that you've had, and the ability to come to Israel and study for the year, really means that we are so incredibly proud of every single one of you. And if anything, chas v'chalila, if a hair of your head was injured, we would be equally devastated as we are over Ezra Schwartz's loss. And as a rabbi, and I'm sure looking around the room, the people here have been to all sorts of high schools, and I'm sure you've had some great experiences in high school, and I'm sure you had some tough experiences in high school. The American Jewish community, the modern Orthodox community, places tremendous, tremendous demands on you guys. How many of you here were told by parents or principals that not only you have to get into the Gush, you have to get into Ivy League, or you have to make sure to not waste time, because after all, medical school or law school is we place a tremendous, tremendous burden of expectations on our youth. And we don't often say, you guys are really beseder. We're really proud of you and who you are and your friends and your generation, everything you stand for. And unfortunately, I mean, as a rabbi, I say this, as a parent as well, it took a complete tragedy like Ezra Schwartz, and what happened to him is unspeakable. But it took that tragedy for me as a rabbi of a big shul to realize that we don't spend enough time saying to our young men and women how proud we are of you and how amazed we are about your achievements, your progress, the dual curriculum, the year in Israel, please God, many years in Israel, and learning Torah, the expectations, the hopes that we have that you'll keep up your learning, you'll keep up your observance, even in secular colleges. And believe me, it's not easy at all. And we just don't spend enough time giving a yasher koach to all of the tremendous achievements. So that's really the main thing and the first thing that I wanted to say. Just thank you and hold in and carry on making us proud, because we're tremendously, tremendously proud. Two more ideas very quickly, and then I'll let you get to your lunch. Number one, just a my son and I were once walking, and I'm going to get to this week's parsha in just 1 second, but it's still Monday. So still, you know, relying on a vacationing rabbi's right to go back to the well of last week's parsha one last time. But in that same pasuk, Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi, the Malach, the angel, asked Yaakov his name. But when Yaakov asks the Malach's name, he gets slapped down. Lama Zeh Tishal, like, what business is of it yours? So I told you what the Rav said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said. My son and I were once walking in Meir Sha'arim, and we came across a old secondhand bookstore selling books. You know, we were going to a crate. We found a sefer. It was a Musar sefer written by Mashkiach, Rabbi Leib Chasman. Tzal, he was, I think you should even know where he was, a Mashkiach. He was like a famous name in the Torah world. If you never know who a rabbi is, just so we say, famous name in the Torah world. So anyway, Rabbi Leib Chasman says a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful insight. He says, what does the angel say, Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi? According to the Midrash, who is the Malach that Yaakov is wrestling? Sarah Shalev, Satan, it's all the same figure, the Yetzer Hara. So Rabbi Leib Chasman said, it's not that the Yetzer Hara, the Malach, did not answer Yaakov's question. He told him his name. What is the name of the Yetzer Hara? Lama Zeh Tishal. Lama Zeh Tishal, Lishmi. My name is Lama Zeh Tishal. What do you have to ask questions for? Don't ask questions. Walk into a restaurant, is this still kosher? It was kosher. Lama Zeh Tishal, what do you ask? And this is an attitude that I think, at least you guys here in Israel, you don't even remember what it's like in America. But this attitude almost defines the Yetzer Hara of American Jew. Lama Zeh Tishal, what, you have to be frumer than ever. You have to, is the Erev up? Lama Zeh Tishal, what do you have to ask? And we sometimes, you know, make fun of each other. We shtuch each other. What are you asking so many questions for? Are you checking? This is definitely Beseder. Lama Zeh Tishal, that is the name of the Yetzer Hara. But I would just take that idea further beyond the level of the cute. Because, and I know as a rabbi, my very first position was a Jewish chaplain, the rabbi at Cambridge University. Any of you guys go to Cambridge next year? What college? Slocha Rabba. You can become intimate with Oliver Cromwell's skull. It's there. It's a long story about why it's there. But so I was a rabbi at Cambridge University, and as a rabbi, the only thing I do outside of my shul of any board affiliation involvement at all is that I'm a board member of the JLIC on campus, Jewish Learning Initiative on campus. We send modern Orthodox rabbinic couples to college campuses across North America. Why am I so passionate about this? Because, as I said before, our aspirations as a community is that you guys should be able to make it work. You should be able to graduate the Gush as budding Talmidei Chachamim, and in the years before, please God, you make Aliyah, you should be able to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem as being observant, learned people, deeply successful and engaged in the modern world. Here's the thing. It is unbelievably difficult. And here's the open secret, as you surely know, is that many people who think that they're going to do it and succeed turn out not to. It's harder than it looks. And the Yetzer Hara, its name is Lama Zeh Tishal. At the end of the first week, the end of the first semester at Columbia or at Yale or wherever you're going, or even at YU, asking the question, wait a second, am I keeping my goals? Am I still davening? Am I learning? Am I going to Minyan? Do I have that chavrus I set up? And the automatic reaction is to say, Lama Zeh Tishal. Listen, I don't worry about it. I've got new priorities, new things. I'm still holding, but I'm going to get to it. That's the name of the Yetzer Hara. Slide without once trying to stop and ask the question. Am I keeping to the decisions that I made? I know the person I want to be. I know that people decide to be differently. It's just they stop asking themselves the right question. And that is something which is critically, critically important. And now we come to this week's parsha, just very, very quickly, and I'm done. And I know, reminded the Gush lunches were, well, whatever, anyway. But it's still lunchtime. A very quick idea. It is so special that you guys are learning, particularly in this yeshiva. A few weeks ago, we had the privilege on the Upper West Side of having Rav Moshe listening to Shlita. A tremendous, tremendous privilege. You are learning, and I didn't learn in the Gush, so I can say this. You're learning at one of those special yeshivot. And the Ramin that you have, the Rebbein that you have, and the Torah that is coming out of Israel, and particularly your yeshiva, is so powerful and so creative and so what the world needs. And compare, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful in the slightest, compare your Rosh Yeshiva Sefer Moshe Rabbeinu and the Haftarot. The Sefer that, the Sfarim that Rav Meidan Shlita's Puriyaki Korov Elecha, on the Parsha, on Tanakh, the creativity, the excitement of what living Torah is, compare that to, you know, the Var Torah that you might hear in America. That is just, to my mind, the difference between a living, dancing neshama and something almost fossilized. And again, Rav Soloveitchik, and this isn't as well known as it should be in America now. Everybody's talking about Mesorah, because it's important. Mesorah is important. But one has to understand that the Torah is capable of meeting modern challenges. And modern orthodoxy did not run out of steam in 1985. It's still a living, breathing thing. And what American Jewry seems unable to be truly animated, truly able to come up with new ideas, you're learning here. And you've got to keep learning. And in a beautiful piece, and if you have the book of the Bet Midrash or the library, you have to, I don't know why this piece is not more famous, but Rabbi Soloveitchik's book, Chamesh Drashot, The Rav Speaks, Five Addresses, I think it's published twice, translated from Yiddish, addresses he gave to the Mizrahi Convention, 1950s, really, when the Rav left Aguda and became a Mizrahi, a Zionist, these were like his defining missions. He has a piece on our Parsha Vayeshev. Why did the brothers hate Yosef? Because Yosef dreamed of wheat and stars. Why should you hate somebody for dreaming about wheat and stars? Because Yaakov was a shepherd, and wheat represented a different way of making a living. And the stars represented Mesopotamia, astronomy, and science. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said the brothers were like Eastern European Jewry who were so convinced that their way of life could stay exactly the way it was. It would never have to meet a modern challenge. And Yosef came along and said, this world won't last. We will outlast it. We will one day live in a different world. We one day may be farmers. We one day may be scientists. We will have the ability to remain Jewish in a world very different from our own. But we have the answers. And the brothers turned around and said, Epicurus. Epicurus, how dare you think of a different kind of world? Surely the world we know is the world that God wants us to live in. And Yosef was right. The world does change. And it's not chas v'chalila a question of changing our Masorah. It's about learning Torah so well and with such depth and such love and such passion that the Torah that you learn here contains the answers to what you're going to look at, what you're going to discover in college campuses. It's going to contain and already contains the answers for a world not in which your parents and grandparents live, but it also contains the answers from which the world you and your children and your grandchildren will live. So at the risk of sounding like all those American rabbis who used to annoy me 20 years ago, I just want to give you a tremendous yashar koach for being here. Please, 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 don't waste a second of the opportunities you have, particularly the Gush, to learn and to grow, because the Torah that you're learning here, we need in America so badly. So Hashem should bless you all, protect you all, inspire you all to keep on growing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.